Good morning and welcome to WHTC Money Matters with your hosts, Kerry Cooley and Jack Godfrey from the Cooley Godfrey Investment Group of Zeeland. The opinions voiced in this show are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your attorney, accountant, financial advisor, or tax advisor prior to investing. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. And now, WHTC Money Matters.
Hey, good morning, Holland, Zeeland. This is Kerry Cooley.
And this is Jack Godfrey. Hey, Kerry, today's show is a good one. It is.
Chris and I need to say welcome. Welcome back.
Yeah, we barely recognize your voice.
I have no comment on that, Chris. I mean, I saw an awesome game, Chris, last Saturday at East Lansing.
30 seconds into the show, and you're already doing the low blow.
It was 1 second in the show, and it was a low blow from you.
That was a great game. Now, who does State play this weekend?
They're off. Michigan plays Nebraska. Do we want to take since you owe me 1 trillion donuts,
double or nothing?
Yeah, double or nothing. Yes.
Listeners, it's a side bet here.
you would have to buy the donut shop. Pay me back for all the bets you've lost.
I think I already do at this point. A trillion donuts.
Yeah.
Chris,
so are you,
Jack is deprived of sugar.
Yeah. Are you like saying the game at the Big House is the Big House today, Nebraska?
U of M by 10.
Okay.
I think they're going to be upset about their last loss, and I think they're sick of it.
I will take the points, 10, and take Nebraska.
Okay.
Listeners, you heard it here.
All right. And I will be here next week.
Well, it's like our own little by the numbers segment there. We just made a bet on the air.
That's right. Yep.
Somehow, I don't know how. Well, I guess that's you're investing, right?
Yes. See?
And I just sent Chris a budget. Well, Janet sent him a budget sheet, and he still can't put more in his account, which is disappointing.
I know.
But, yeah.
I know. We want him up to what, that $5,500
mark? That's exactly correct.
Per year.
You know my bosses. You can talk about getting me a raise.
Bosses,
yeah. Oh, well,
okay, our show today is being brought to you by Mary Jo Borman, Borman Law Offices. Mary Jo is an estate planning attorney located in our building at 123 East Main in downtown Zeeland. You can contact her at 616-772-2487 or visit her website at bormanlaw.com.
Hey, we're going to be talking about retirement setbacks today. Our number here at the station is 395-1450, and the market this week had another record.
Record high for the S&P. But you know what? I talk about this all the time. Here's the same question. Is the market overvalued? Yes or no?
No.
It's not overvalued because even though it's at an all-time high, what you're paying for stuff is just average.
Mm-hmm.
Average, the average price. And we look at that by the price earnings ratio. I talk about it every week, still hanging around 14, 15, 16, back to 2002, and people are going crazy. It was around 28, 30. It was ridiculous prices.
It was.
And people weren't making money. Now they're making money, and it's not overvalued. So stop asking that question.
Okay. Yeah. I will. Well, and the other thing is that we get for question is S&P 500. It's up almost 20% year-to-date, why isn't my portfolio up? And, you know, that's the one thing that you have to realize, that when you look at a person's portfolio, it should not be all in the S&P 500. It should be well-diversified. So when you see that number, you can't compare apples to apples. You need to compare, you know, you're comparing apples to oranges there with that comparison.
Well, they should have asked back in 2011, why is my portfolio up in 2011, the S&P is down, or why for 10 years, 2001 to 2011, the S&P didn't make any money and I did. So, I mean, they should be asking those type of questions. Diversification is always key. You might not be hitting the average, but, you know.
The average on the short term.
The average on the short term. That's exactly right. So, you know, people get confused, or, you know, people who call me during the week and say, you know, I heard you on the show talk about the S&P's up 20%. How come I'm not up? And I go, well, you're all in bonds. I mean, we're not taking much risk with your portfolio because that's what you said you wanted and you needed income. And, you know, we don't want to take much risk, even though there is some risk in bonds because we saw when that tapering went away, things were down 4% or 5%. It's now back up.
Mm-hmm.
But people get confused in what they have when people say the market.
Mm-hmm.
The market is divided up in a lot of different segments.
Absolutely. Let's take a look at some of those segments. Some of those segments, you know, for the year. I like to look at year numbers here. Let's look at large, medium, and small sectors. All those sectors are showing green, everyone. And, you know, the lowest performing one is still up over 27%. So
that's for the year, not year to date.
That's right.
Year over year.
That's for the year. And then the three-year, year over year, those numbers are all in the green, and they're all north of 14%. So yeah. Not bad returns.
No, not bad returns. And, you know, our show today is retirement setbacks, and we'll talk about some of these issues that people have had about being afraid. So that's one end of the spectrum, tips one way. Then you get the other people on the spectrum who now are starting to get cocky again. Well, I'd like to take a little bit more risk. I go, no, we're not. You know, it's we just got over the risk you took in 2008, even though I said we shouldn't. And now they're back up and way up, and it's like, well, I want to take more risk. And nope, this is our goal, 6 to 8%. That's our goal, 6 to 8.
Well, when you need to be a little bit more cocky with some of that stuff is after 08. You're willing to take a little bit more risk.
Well, right, and our customers did. I mean, they, you know, we didn't have anybody out of the market. We were good. We were well-diversified. Another thing that people don't think about is, what's my correlation? If I do this, what's going to happen? How am I correlated to the S&P? Am I one for one? Am I 80% of the market? The thing what you want to do is you want to have a lower beta and a higher alpha. Less risk and better return. That's what you got to think of for. So if you don't remember anything in today's radio show is, what's my beta? What's my beta in my portfolio? And then what kind of alpha am I going to get? And then what's the up capture and what's the down capture of your portfolio? The up capture is, how much are you getting for your risk? And then how much are you losing because of your risk in a down market? So those are some things you need to know.
Yeah, now that we know the Greek alphabet.
Well, yeah, I know. Well, but it's,
but it's important. You know, we're talking about risk and reward. And then, how about different sectors of the market? You know, we have sectors such as energy, consumer discretionary, consumer staples, healthcare, you know, information technology. And year to date, you know, the telecom services is the worst with up over 14%. And then the winning sector, as far as the best year to date, which is up over 32%, is industrials.
Yeah, I'm looking at, you know, things over 30%. You know, healthcare is up 34%. And there's a, you know, there might be some healthcare funds that people might want to take a look at to take advantage of some of this uptick in healthcare. Some of those funds have averaged 10% for 10 years.
Yes, they
so
have.
So some of those you might want to take a look at in your portfolio. So call us 395-1450 if you have any questions. But those are some of the market numbers. Other things that happen in the market happened on, I don't know, Thursday or Friday. Unemployment numbers came up a little bit higher to 7.3. Jobs created were better than expected. That's why the market was up on Friday and down a little bit on Thursday, anticipation that numbers weren't going to be so good. But the thing of the week was Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
Twitter came out, I mean, they priced at 20, but it didn't start trading until about 10, 10.15, 10.30, and it started trading at 46.
Wow.
So somewhere around the low 20s it priced at the night before, Wednesday night, came out on Thursday, and immediately jumped to 46, and then it settled back down. I think yesterday might have been 42. So if you bought it at the market, you're down 5%.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, another interesting fact, you know, with IPOs that come out hot out of the gate, they usually do settle back down and get more reserved. And sometimes it's just better to wait.
Yeah, it is, yeah. No, if you compared that to Facebook, you know, it came out about, I don't know what the exact IPO price. So let's talk about IPO a second. So if you're with a firm who gets shares of the IPO, that means you can buy shares right at what a price is at. So every firm is allocated if they're one of the participating party of bringing this public. And then also, like, there's always one or two firms that take it public. You know, it might be Merrill Lynch, just say, for example. And they'll divvy these up. They'll sell them off because they want to have this full participation. And typically this was oversubscribed. More people wanted to get in, so they raised the price. You know, went through this when Perigo went public. You know, as part of that, setting the price. And, you know, we're going to set the price at 12, oversubscribe, went to 16. So it oversubscribed, which raises the price at the IPO price. So they don't price it until Wednesday. They take a look at all the subscribers and say, we can get more money. Well, it came out of 46. I mean, holy smokes. I mean, all these private owners, they're happy at 20, let alone 46. Now, the owners of these companies, the owner, CEO, the founder, et cetera, they're allowed to take some money off the table at the opening, but now they have to wait to take more money off the table.
Mm-hmm.
So they have a blackout period that goes on. But it's, you know, just kind of interesting. But I thought Twitter is truly doesn't have the business model that Facebook has, Google has. I mean, Google has the best model. You know, Google's at $1,000. You know, it's over $1,000. But Facebook, I don't know, it was 47 this past week.
Which
was up to 53.
Yeah, which is a big turnaround for them.
Well, it's a big turnaround, but, I mean, they were at 17 at one time.
Yeah.
And we had some customers buy at 17.
Well, listeners, so let's talk about, well, no, Chris is saying a short break here, Jack. So, listeners, you're listening to WHTC Money Matters. This is Kerry Cooley.
And Jack Godfrey. Hey, we'll be back talking about your questions. Call us, 395-1450.
And welcome back, listeners. You're listening to WHTC Money Matters. This is Kerry Cooley.
And Jack Godfrey. Hey, our show today is going to be retirement setbacks. We have a lot of those to go through because this is what we spend most of our day on every day. Even meeting a customer today, talk about retirement. So it's one thing that we do, a lot of firms don't do is, you know, we have customers in like 22 states. We visit customers at their homes.
Mm-hmm.
We still do.
Yep.
Which
and,
is awesome.
And if they're a ways away, what we do is do WebExes where we can still talk to them live, even see them live, and, you know, go through the whole presentation as if they're right there in the office. Technology is amazing.
I did two WebExes this week, one in North Carolina, Charlotte, and then one in Bourbonnais. It's hard to say. You look at the name, there's no way you could say it, Bourbonnais.
Bourbonnais.
Bourbonnais, yeah, that's home of Nazareth College. Nazarene.
Okay.
Good football school down there.
All right. Hey, a little bit by the numbers. Some fun numbers to look at. S&P 500, as we talked earlier, has gained, you know, in the month of October for this year, 4.6% just for 1 month. That's a huge number just for 1 month. So, you know, there's some good numbers coming out.
This title is Old Folks. This is the title. Get this. Estimated between the number of 9,200 and 11,400 people are retiring every day or reaching 65. So between 9,200 and 11,400 daily birthdays of folks reaching 65. And that's going to continue for the next 16 years. Those are big numbers. Those are big numbers.
That's what we're here to talk about today.
Yeah, I know. But here's another good number. This is the people today are able to retire somewhere around 59. Able to retire. That's the key thing. Able to retire. But most Americans today expect to retire at 68.4. Now, I haven't seen many of those. I don't know where they're at. Because most people say they want to, you know, retire at 62. And one of the problems, and we're not there yet, cost of retirement setbacks is they take retirement from Social Security the first thing they do. They, you know, they just run right down there and start taking Social Security. They go, why did you do that? But we'll get into that later.
Let's talk a little bit about Medicaid. 5% of Americans covered by Medicaid
use up
54% of all Medicaid expenditures.
Wow, that's a lot.
It's a very small number.
I wonder
of people.
Who those people are.
Yeah,
that's a lot.
Yeah,
that is a lot. That's a big number. Here we go. You know, we talk a lot about loans. You know, banks in the U.S. are, you know, held back right now by who knows the regulations, the federal regulations, more reserves. Because, you know, let's be honest, they did get in some problems during 08 and continue. Some banks still have problems. And it's really, in my opinion, this is my opinion, is because they got into things they shouldn't have got into. If they just take deposits and loan money, they'd be okay. But European banks hold 80% of the national debt. Our banks, 20%.
Wow. I didn't realize
Isn't that amazing? And now this includes both sovereign bonds issued by countries and corporate bonds, 80%. U.S., 20%. Sovereign means government bonds. They're issuing government bonds. They're actually loaning to the government. And that is amazing. You know, who do we loan? I mean, who do we get our money from? China and Japan.
Mm-hmm.
China and Japan. We don't want to borrow from our own people. You know, it's just, well, who wants to take those low rates?
Yeah, no kidding. How about interest rates? You know, we talk about interest paid on the national debt. For the year 2013, $415 billion, which is equal to 2.5% of the national debt, was just in interest.
That's a lot of money. And I want to know why you're reading my numbers, because you're supposed to have 1 through 7.
No, I'm supposed to have 1 through 10. Oh, there's only 15.
Stealing my stuff. Okay, I'm going to go right to World Series. Boston beat the St. Louis Cardinals. As people well know, they've won 3 World Series in 10 years. The previous 85 years, 1919 to 2003, they didn't win any.
None.
So 2004 to 2013, they won 3. That's pretty good. That is really good. All right, let's go to questions. Hey, call us, 395-1450 with your questions. I actually had Ruth call me this week with a question. And Ruth's question was, she's a great listener. Hey, Ruth out there, thanks for listening. She called in and said, hey, my birthday is July 3rd or 4th. Do I have to take an RMD this year? No, because she's not going to be 70 and a half till the second half of the year.
Okay. But she's just over.
Just over, yeah. Yep. So she doesn't have to take. But, you know, Ruth says, hey, you always take questions. I did. I called her back and gave her the answer.
I had a listener. Actually, it was a friend of a client that talked about the 71.5 number or 70.5 number, because at 70.5, you're required to take your first RMD if you want, but you can wait 1 year.
Yep.
And this person came in all worried, saying, hey, I didn't take my money last year. And it really sounded like they had forgot about it. And I said, you're still okay, because you can skip your first year, your 70.5 year. But now when you're 71.5, that second year, you have to take your first and your second year of RMD. So you have to take 2 in 1 year.
That's the only time you get a free pass, but you have to, here's the caveat, though, you have to take the first one by April 15th.
Okay.
First one by April 15th. So that's and I just read an article in Kiplinger magazine, the November issue, and it talked about people forgetting or not adding up all their IRAs to take their distribution, and more people are forgetting that. Well, the each IRA you have, each person you have it with, is by law required to send in to the federal government to say, here's what you're supposed to take off this one, and this one. Because you could have one at an annuity company, you could have one at, here, and one at the bank, and one with us. You could have them a lot of different places. Now, and they forget to take one. Well, the government can go back and say it's 50% penalty,
mm-hmm,
plus taxes. 50%
yeah,
penalty plus taxes. But they said, if you write in and say, you know, I just forgot, they'll say, okay, free pass. There's a good chance. Now, if you do it repeated years, well, that's not going to work out. But they will forgive you, which is pretty nice. I didn't know that.
That is nice on that
Kipling
issue.
Magazine, November issue.
Question. Here's a question from Melissa. I am 62, and my wife is going to have a baby in December of this year. Is there a benefit for the baby when I start to take my Social Security payments? I know what you're thinking, Jack.
And I'm going to say, yes, there is.
All right.
Yeah, yes, there is. Generally speaking, when people take Social Security retirement benefits, certain children may also receive benefits. And, of course, you have to be a eligible child, which means you have to meet the age requirement. That's usually 18, or a disabled child up to 25, or it's a biological child, or adopted child, or a dependent stepchild. And it could also, if you are the legal guardian of a grandchild, they also may, qualify.
Yeah,
so
if that grandchild
is
dependent on that.
Yeah, that's a new one. And there's a lot of dependent grandchildren today. So if you're listening out there today, you might want to think about that. Dependent, that means you're able to check the box on your 1040.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it has to be. Check in the box.
Well, and, you know, this isn't uncommon. There's a lot of older people that are having younger kids.
If you go to New York City, there's a lot of 62-year-olds pushing the cart. Or they're next to the nanny pushing the cart.
Uh-huh.
That are 62.
Yep.
Ton of them. Yes.
Hey, question is, I'm visiting with my parents over the holidays. How can I bring up the subject of are they all set and have everything in order financially without making them feel like I'm invading their privacy?
Well, that's a good one. You know, you could just blame Carrie and I. That's a good one. You
it
know?
Is. I mean, yeah.
Really.
Throw us under the bus.
Yeah,
that's okay.
No, that's fine. I ask that question all the time. What about your parents? And, you know, you have to say, I was just visiting with Jack and Carrie. We had a review meeting, and they said, well, you know, how's your parents? What's their stuff? And Mom and Dad, maybe you ought to bring your stuff in and have an independent look and see how things are structured. Number one thing we find for parents is you don't have your beneficiaries correct.
Yep. And the second big thing, Jack, would be not having their assets listed in the trust.
Not everything should be in the trust, but, you know, sometimes we need to figure out what's right. And some people just don't have any beneficiaries.
Yeah.
Or they have the previous wife beneficiaries. No.
Well, really,
because I found one this week where the dead wife was a beneficiary. Person did not know that.
Wow. Well, and the other common thing, a lot of people have a trust, think it's all done. They've never put anything in a trust.
Yep, that's the biggest problem.
So, that's where we tell our clients, hey, just use our name, and we'll help your parents out.
Yeah.
So,
no, that's a good one. Okay, last question. Here we go. I'm worried about spending this holiday season. We really worked hard to pay off our debt and even managed to put some money in a Roth, but I don't want to go back where we started. Any suggestions? Yeah, the B word.
Budget.
What are you going to give your children, your husband, the grandchildren, mom, dad, grandpa and grandma? Have a budget. And if that budget comes up too high, start cutting it down.
Yeah.
Do it by percentages. That's what you need to do is have a budget.
Yeah, absolutely. That's you need to have that before you go out Christmas shopping. You need to have it before this holiday season, and that way you won't end up in the same way. So great questions. If you want to get questions to us, you can call us at 395-1450 right here in the station or at our office at 931-1223. We're going to take a short break. Be right back. You're listening to WHTC Money Matters. This is Kerry Cooley.
And Jack Godfrey. We'll be right back in 1 minute.
Hey, welcome back, listeners. You're listening to WHTC Money Matters. This is Kerry Cooley.
Jack Godfrey. Wow, had a big frog there.
Hey, we should let our listeners know, too. This show is being brought to you by Borman Law Offices. And have you had your will updated lately? Have you recently been married or divorced or had children, sent children off to college, or your children are grown? You may need to update your will. Mary Jo will review your existing will and help you make any changes that you need to be made. So contact Mary Jo Borman at Borman Law Offices, 616-772-2487, about your estate planning questions. She is awesome to work with.
Nope, very good. Our topic today for the last two segments is retirement setbacks. We have plenty of those. We go through this every week. The number one problem we have in retirement setbacks is you're saving not enough. And what we do is we will run a financial plan. We're using 3.2 as inflation. And we'll go through and say, okay, at your spending level with Social Security, your retirements, if you have a pension, and say, okay, at the current spending levels, what's it look like?
Mm-hmm.
We can predict fairly good. Now, that's the number one problem, saving too little.
Well, and, you know, the average saving rate for people in 401ks, and I'm just talking about 401k plans, that company plans, is 6-8%. What we do encourage when you're starting off in a new job, you're starting off your career after college, contribute the 15%. Go and get that 15%. You know, contribute that. Don't worry about the money. Live off the lesser amount and budget yourself around that amount that's lesser than 15%.
Yeah, a survey, I think it was Money Magazine or Kiplinger's again, said 16.6.
Okay.
If you could start right out of the gate saving 16.6% of your pay consistently, both you and your wife, you'll be fine.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know many people are doing that.
No. And At the minimum, people, if you have a 401k at work and your employer is matching in any way, shape, or form, you at least need to put in the minimum to get what they're willing to match up to, because that's free money. And I see too many people that don't even do that, and they miss out on the free money. I had a client in this past week. We made sure that he was putting in 6% at least, because the company was matching 50 cents on each dollar. Where else are you going to make 50% on your money?
No, that's awesome. I mean, that is really awesome. So if you have if you're listening today and you have a retirement story you want to tell us about, your success story or a story that's not so successful, we're talking about that. Call 395-1450. Starting too late, that's the next one, is, you didn't get the picture early, you didn't get help early, and or you just said, I'm just going to worry about it on my own, is, I try to get people involved when they're kids, and when they're kids in high school. And if you could get kids to understand money, and the biggest thing they need to understand is who's going to pay for college, and that's another setback we got. But starting too late, I mean, if you don't understand the value of money, and mom and dad have kept that silver spoon in your mouth way too long, and they paid for everything, and or mom and dad hasn't talked about their retirement and their Roth and their IRA and their annuity and their job and the heartaches they've went through, or the share the stories of good things they've went through, then how do the kids ever learn? How do the kids ever learn? So starting too late is a generational problem.
Mm-hmm.
It's a generational problem.
I would agree with you, Jack, because, I think it's even a little bit more than that, than just a generational problem, is that when you come out of high school and college, you look at things and you want that new car, you want to have what your parents have now, and it's that entitlement that people feel they should have things now. And it's like, hold it, we need to back off of that. And you need to start saving for retirement, because having a little pain now and saving for retirement are going to reap big rewards long term. So I think that's a good thing.
Yeah. I mean, here's a good example. Say you're 55, earning about $80,000 a year, and you've saved nothing for retirement. Nothing. But then you put the pedal to the metal and set aside $23,000 every year in your 401k for the next 10 years. That's $23,000 combined with the annual maximum for people younger than 50. That means $17,500 in 2013 plus the catch-up amounts to $22,000. And if your player matches 3% on each of your first 6%, your investment earned annualized 7%, you've amassed $434,000. So let's get these numbers again. You haven't saved anything by 55. You make 80. You've now got your debt paid off. Whew. The kids are now married, off. They're off from college, graduated, have good jobs, and you're putting in $23,000 a year in your 401k. So how does that match out? If you're over 50 like you, Carrie, you can put in $17,500 plus catch-up of $5,000, which is $22,500, plus you can put some extra in your Roth, and your employer matches 3% on the first 6% of your pay, your investment earning 7%, you'll have $434,700 by the time you reach 65.
And that's starting later.
That's starting later. So there is hope, but you got to get on that fast horse.
Now imagine, and we, Jack and I, can look at each other here in the studio and say, okay, imagine if I did that when I was 20 or 25, what that number would be in then.
Well, many people aren't putting those kind of numbers away because they're not making $80,000. Plus, mm-hmm. they have debt and college debt and all kinds of good stuff. But if you still, this is real short-term compounding. Maybe 1.5. Well, you 7 into 72, 11 times, not quite 11 times, so 11 years. So they're not getting much compounding here. But they're getting 7%.
Yeah.
That's which is, 7% compared to this year. I mean, it's something else. But
So we've talked about saving too little, starting too late, which is a very common one. How about some of the things to expect the unexpected? We could tell story after story on this, is that you have to plan for the what ifs. And what if my car breaks down? I know that's a small one, but what if, is your path to retirement going to be free of potholes and, no market declines and no job loss? you have to expect that there could be a job loss, there could be health problems. You can have all the good intentions in the world, but you do need a plan for some of these unexpected things.
Well, that's what gets people in problems once they do retire. I mean, they don't think about the what ifs, and I tell people, you know, you, with the money that I send you, that's what you have to live off from. Pretend, you know, I'm your employer. I'm sending you money, and that's what you have to save and get your emergency account with. Because if you don't have an emergency account, guess what? You're calling Jack or Carrie and saying, oh, man, I want to buy a new car. Send me $40,000. We go, well, that's not part of your financial planning here, is you saying, well, if it is, then we plan for it.
Mm-hmm.
But if it isn't, and all of a sudden you take $40,000 off that distribution of 5 or 6%, You have to take less money now.
Yeah, because...
And that's okay.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And, you know, that's one of the things. We find people that raid some of their retirement accounts, they raid some of their other savings, and that hurts the retirement plan.
Well, but then also, you know, I was just dealing with a couple that long-term customers in Cedar Springs. So I was up at Cedar Springs this past week, and, you know, he had about $317,000. Well, that's a lot of money. 70 years old, has now to look at that, and he goes, Jack, let's make one thing understood here. I don't want to die with $317,000. I don't. You need to figure out what you can send me with some extra distributions per year that I can take extra beyond my normal 6% that I'm getting, and then try to make my money last forever. I go, well, why don't you just tell me the day you're going to die? You know, why don't you just tell me? We'll back into it. Well, you really get close here.
Yeah.
But you know, what we're going to do is we're going to systematically sell some extra stuff every year.
Mm-hmm.
And depending on the market, depending, and he's really done well this year, like everybody else has done well, but we're going to systematically sell probably twice a year.
Okay. You take a little extra for him.
A little extra off, and depends on the market. And if it's good in the market, we're going to have some extra. But you also need to put some stuff that's going to grow, which is another retirement setback, is you head for the hills. You head for the hills. Now, I just had a customer in, this is Thursday, and they had $40,000 at a local banking institution in a CD getting 0.25%. Four of them, $10,000 each.
You could probably take that money, if it's not short-term money, take it out, take the penalty, and put it in something else.
Well, yeah, better. I mean, and I said there's going to be a penalty, and the penalty payback was 2 months. That was it. I mean, so, don't be afraid of taking a penalty if you can go somewhere else to get a better rate, a better return, you know, whatever. But it's just, she understood it then.
Yep. Hey, you know, we were talking about, you know, expect the unexpected. Here's a little survey that was done, and between people 50 to 70, virtually all the respondents said they experienced at least one retirement hurdle, and more than half said that they seriously affected their retirement savings. So you have to expect things like this that are going to happen, the unexpected things. You know, so we're talking about the unexpected, saving too little, starting too late, and we're going to be right back with a few more here right after our break. So, listeners, you're listening to WHTC Money Matters. Hey, listeners, welcome back. You're listening to WHTC Money Matters. This is Carrie Cooley.
And Jack Godfrey. Hey, we're talking about retirement setbacks. These are some things that, if you can red flag some of these, and I know you can't red flag all of them, but, you know, to expect the unexpected is something you're always going to do, but saving too little, saving too late. Here's some other ones. You know, shying away from the market. Now, when I talk about the market now, I'm talking about equities, mutual funds, something that's going to have a company that's going to grow. So that's one of them there that, you know, people who got burned in 2008, you know, there were some problems there. And, you know, the people who stayed and did what we told them to do, again, taking a little bit less risk, getting back into the market, you know, it's all about your allocation. And for those people who stayed in, were highly compensated. If you go back and look at those numbers, 3 years in a row, you've averaged above 15% across the board. Now, our customers, our goals are 6 to 8. You know, so if you're at 10 to 12, we're elated.
Mm-hmm.
We're elated.
Well, and, you know, for those people that tend to shy away from stocks because they feel they're too risky, one of the things to help reduce some of that risk is to dollar cost average into stocks, meaning put money into it every month. Put it, like in your retirement account at work, you're putting money in every paycheck.
But let's go back and say stocks. We really don't do too much in the word stocks. We're not buying too many individual stocks unless people say, I want to buy this company. Otherwise, we're not recommending any stock. I'm not, and neither are you.
A few,
but I mean, you know, there's some people out there that, you know, we're not recommending this, but likes Gentex at 17, and they'll buy it every day at 17 or 19.
Mm-hmm. Well, and when you have local stocks like that, you're always going to have people and local interest on that. You know, the other thing about, you know, when you think of equities and stocks and things like that is having them rebalanced automatically. Set up an automatic rebalancing plan so you don't end up with too high a percentage in equities, and we also emphasize that, and that helps reduce some of that risk factor in there too.
And it's the allocation. I mean, I did a bunch of reallocations this week after the third quarter, you know, because we had such a run up in small cap and mid cap, so we're reallocating back to some large cap because there's greater value there. We're taking it for something that's ran up in price because it's now pricey, a lot higher PE ratios, and reallocating to something that has more value to buy. I mean, would you rather buy two apples for 50 cents or one apple for 50 cents? Mm-hmm. Or would you rather buy three pears for 50 cents? I just bought pears yesterday, so I'm just trying to think of what I can relate it to. But that's what you get. I mean, the people who get that, well, why do we want to do this? Because we're taking a profit and reallocating and buying more apples over here. So we've sold these and buying something that has more value. And the people that don't get that and shy away from that, they don't get it. That's the whole thing, and that's going to hurt your retirement.
Well, and here's another thing that can hurt a retirement. A lot of people come into the office and say, I need to save for college, when they're not even saving for their own retirement enough. So I tell people, take care of yourselves first. And I'm not trying to sound selfish here, but you need to take care of yourself. You need to put money into your 401k plan. You need to put money into your Roth IRA. You need to do that first before you put money into a college fund for your children. And that's another common, you know, people kind of flip that around. They think they need to put all this money into college before they're retirement. No, you need to put into retirement first.
Well, for the people who get it, I mean, they do it as soon as that kid's born. I mean, they start it right out of the gate, and I would say 95% of our younger people who have kids put money into 529s for college. 95%.
Yeah, and you can even start that before they're born.
We did that with the grandchildren that I have, that we have, Maureen and I. I mean, we did that. And how do you do that? Is you set it up with a parent's name and then you switch it to the kids. Very easy to do.
Yeah.
And the grandparents, for you grandparents out there, shame on you if you're not helping those kids, those grandkids or great-grandkids of yours to go to college. You need to be putting money in as soon as they're born, Christmas, birthdays, first communion, any excuse you can think of.
And this doesn't have to be a four-year college. It can be a two-year technical school. You know, this is where this money can be used. And, you know, it's just things. We want to see parents and grandparents help their kids out, too, but you need to take care of your retirement.
All right, here's a couple more things before we close the show. Here we go. Losing a job. Losing a job can be devastating to your retirement. And so as soon as you lose your job, you need to figure this out and need to figure this out in a hurry because we're talking about insurance. That's one. The last one is, not the last one, but losing a spouse who contributes to the income. Very significant.
Yep.
So we need to be talking about life insurance for both spouses. If one dies, you're in trouble.
Well, and then the common one, people still remember 2008. If your investments tank, can be another major setback. Or your kids, and I've seen this happen, your children need financial help, can also cause a setback. You know, how do you handle these things? How do you go through these things? You can't just run out and, you know, borrow all the money for that.
Well, another thing that happened, too, that was a great setback is you can't sell your house. You're trying to sell it. You're trying to get into a retirement village. You're trying to move south, whatever. That's another one. So, hey, we're getting near the end of our show. Next week, our show is going to be paying off your debt after death. I mean, who's going to pay for it? That's our show next week. Hey, our show today is being brought to you by Mary Jo Borman. Mary Jo Borman is located in our building at 123 East Main in downtown Zeeland. You can contact Mary Jo at 616-772-2487 or visit her website at BormanLaw. That's BoermanLaw.com.
So next week, join us, listeners. Who pays off debt after death? And thanks for listening today. If you want to reach us throughout the week, 931-1223 is our number at our office. Have a great weekend. You're listening to WHCC Money Matters. This is Kerry Cooley.
And Jack Godfrey. Have a great weekend.
You've been listening to WHTC Money Matters with your hosts, Jack Godfrey and Kerry Cooley from the Cooley Godfrey Investment Group of Zealand. The opinions voiced in this show are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your attorney, accountant, financial advisor, or tax advisor prior to investing. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Be sure to join us next Saturday at the same time for WHTC Money Matters on 1450 WHTC, Holland's hometown station.